But anyhow, where was I? I was on part five. That's where we were, part five already, last time we got together. And so I gave you a couple of little statements that I like. I call them zingers or what have you. But we have two ears and a tongue so we can listen more than we speak. I ain't getting no amens out of that. We have to be careful sometimes of how much we speak. We should just listen a little more. I try to do that. I try to be a listener more than a speaker. Some people, you can't get a word in edgewise. And I don't do too good with those kind of people, but I just go, You know, you do the bobblehead thing, you know, you just deal with it. But we have two ears and a tongue so we can listen more than we speak. And that's, I said, God has given us a double fence to keep the tongue corralled, and that's teeth and lips. That's hilarious. Teeth and lips. You know, mama, you say bite your lip and all those different things. So those are pretty cool. So we were talking about the seeds of faith, talking about words of faith and what it does. And as far as a seed is concerned. So Genesis chapter 1, 11 through 12. Let's go over that recap real quick. Not going to be long because I got tons of information to give to you. I keep saying that, but we'll see what happens. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after what? His kind. You got to remember that. Whose seed is what it is in itself. So the seed is pregnant. Let me try that again. The seed is pregnant with more seed and with more life. And so from the law first mentioned, and we look at the creative order of God, we see that when he spoke these things to an existence, he gave them the power and the ability to reproduce after the particular kind. So if God did that in the natural creative order, then he's done that in the spiritual order that he has placed in us through his DNA and through his power. We also know that the devil can reproduce, or at least counterfeit is a better word. He can counterfeit these things. That's why we have to be careful what we say, because every one of us in this room, those that are watching, we are all products of our mouth.
That's right.
I like smiling. We really are. We're products of our mouth in the direction that we're going. And we have to understand that your words will produce after its kind. In other words, if they're negative words, what you're going to get is negativity in your life. You're going to produce things you don't want in your life. So the opposite of that, which is very easy, it's elementary, is that we don't talk negative, we talk positive. Again, it's not Scientology where it's mind over matter and positive thinking and positive thinking. Look, you're in trouble. You got pain in your body. You have a reality in your life. You have a reality. There's nothing you could do. You're not trying to escape the reality. What you're doing is you're coming against what is happening through the Word of God and claiming the promises of God. But again, this is speaking of that seed. And so if I want a great future and a great life before me, however long that may be, I need to speak the words of God, the words of life. Again, this is elementary, but so many people get tripped up on it. So the fruit tree yielding after his kind, whose seed is in itself. And that's where I want to just launch off here in just a minute. But the seed is in itself. The reproductive power, the creative power, the generational power is inside of that seed. We can take it to our human existence. We have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we have grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great. It goes on and on through the lineage because of what? A seed. Everybody got that? We know that's pretty easy. So it is the same thing when it comes to faith. If I want the genealogy, if you will, or the heritage of God, then I need to speak like God speaks. I think it's pretty easy, but we get tripped up on that. Remember that word kind means original. Genetic engineering. See, we try to genetic engineer our words. In other words, we mix words that the world says with the Word of God. A lot of Christians do that. It doesn't work that way. We mix our prayers with hope-so prayers that are unscriptural with Scripture. We need to speak what God says about it. And we don't do hope-so prayers. I don't hope so. I pray according to the Word of God. if there is hope in my prayers, it's the hope of expectancy, not the hope of the world that crosses their fingers, right? And hope it happens. No, I expect it to happen. That's the biblical definition of hope, by the way, is expectation. You must have a spirit of expectation when you begin to pray. Okay, remember we talked about there's nothing new under the sun. We talked about the seed. We talked about how that we did not lose faith in the garden. What we lost was our tongue. We lost the ability to speak things that are not as though they were. Because remember, Adam was there. He got to see the creative power of God. But when he sinned, it became tainted, and it became misconceived, and deception came in. But the faith and the power thereof was passed on. We learned that in Hebrews 11:4. Faith was passed on after the fall. Isn't that good to know? Faith has never left the earth. Faith has never left the earth. Go to Matthew 12, 36 through 37 real quick. Let's look at that. Just a couple more highlights, and then we'll move on. Is everybody still awake? Kind of, sort of? Okay. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? Next verse. And if I be able to cast out devils, by whom your children cast them out, therefore they shall be your judges. Make sure I gave you the right verse. 12. Did I give you 36 through 37? What'd you give me? 26? 36 through 37. That's still good there. There's division there. And if you're divided, a man that's divided is unstable. We'll show that in a minute. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Next verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt be condemned. So we talked about last time, what are idle words? Words that are unemployed. Words that have no work. They have no assignment. So again, I remember I telling you, I used to struggle because I like to joke and I think things are funny. And when I first got saved, I was oh wow, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to have to play a harp. Come on, somebody. And get rosy cheeks and be holy all the time. And it messed me up. But then I learned that these are unemployed words. These are words that are inactive. They're non-working. They're careless. They're lazy. They're barren. So in other words, the seeds after his kind, as we learned in the beginning, they produce the life that it's supposed to. But if we have idle words in our life, then they're barren. They're not producing anything. And if they're producing anything, they're producing negativity. They're producing what the enemy wants. So we remember that. We had this to learn that. And then John 6:63, I'm not going to go anymore. Jesus spoke the words of life, of spirit and life. Remember that? Yep, that was pretty awesome. So we're going to get away from that, and we're going to get into tonight's teaching. This is part six, believe it or not, part six. And let's look at this. Here's a couple statements I want you to write down. This is repetitive, this one here, but words are seeds. I want it to be repetitive for a reason, because hopefully it'll stick to your subconscious, it'll stick to your forethought, that every time you open your mouth, you're sowing a seed. Wow. Yikes. That's not something pleasant to think about, but we're sowing seeds every time we speak. And if we would just learn that, train your tongue, train your brain, tame your tongue, we'll have better fruit in our lives. We'll have a better atmosphere in our lives. People will be more attracted to you if you have words of life coming out of you than always being, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Negative. Who likes a negative person? I don't. I mean, I'll tolerate them, but after a while, I got to get out of the room. I'm like, look, Linus, your dusty blanket is just, oh, I got to go. Somebody help me. All right. Listen to this. Prayer is our legal right to attain everything God has promised us. These are just little statements to start out tonight's teaching. Prayer is a legal right to attain everything God has promised us. You got to pray. It's your legal right. How do you get the things that God has promised you? You got to pray. You got to say something. You got to speak the word. It doesn't just come bunny foo-foo magically because you are a believer. Okay? Many times we suffer unnecessarily because we don't apply the Word of God. We don't pray according to the legal rights that we have. We should be praying all the time. Let me try that again. We should be praying all the time. And we really do. Your spirit man does cry out to God constantly, but we should be praying all the time for our rights that God has promised us. And then listen to this. Faith will make prayer work. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't work without faith. Faith will make prayer work. If you add your faith to your prayers, it works. But prayer won't work without faith. Faith will make prayer work, but prayer won't work without faith. Say it another way is, you know, you got to work the Word in order for the Word to work. If you don't give the Word employment, it doesn't work. Again, putting this family Bible, a family Bible on your coffee table does not scare the devil. Putting on the back of your car doesn't scare the policeman. If you're doing 80 and a 45, you're still getting a ticket. Yep. Yeah. Hallelujah, praise Jesus, amen. You know, unless he goes to church with you, you might get away with it, but he's going to warn you. So what we do is we take the Word of God and we use it as some type of lucky charm, and that's not how it works. You have to pray with faith. So we're going to study all this and put all this together, but those are the little statements I wanted to work with for this particular teaching. All right, so let's get into the Word. Matthew chapter 8, ocho, number 5, chapter 8, verse 5. Joshua, we're going to go to verse 14. Is that all right? All right. So when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, a centurion was a captain in the Roman army of 100 men. It's the 60th of a legion. But he still was a man of authority. How do you know? 100 guys underneath you. That's pretty good team. All right. So he had some authority, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy. He was a paralytic. He was paralyzed, grievously tormented. Next verse. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Let's stop here real quick. Let's recognize and realize this. Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't from Africa or Miami, as people want to portray him. He was a Jew. And this was a Roman centurion. He was a dog. He was the worst of the worst to the Jewish nation because they ruled over them. Right. So get it into context here. This is not a very good setting for the Jewish view. But for Jesus, it was perfect. It was a setup. Okay? He said, I will come and heal him. Remember, they had no dealings with these people, per se, but Jesus was willing to go to his house. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. I want you to highlight that, make it bold, write in your Bible. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. So here's this man of authority who recognize the word of authority. So I want you to take the word of faith, and I want you to write next to it the word of authority, because the word of faith is the word of authority. It's the word of authority. Whose authority? God's authority. The centurion knew that Jesus had authority over the paralytic, over devils, over demons, over everything that was on the earth. He called him Lord, so he knew his healing power, and he understood that. Speak the word only, which really it means the word of faith or the word of authority. Speak the word only. And so why am I capitalizing on that is because we need to learn how to speak the word only. Lord, I speak your word. Here's the situation I'm in, but I speak your word over it. It's nothing wrong with admitting what's going on in your life. The problem is not putting the word to the problem. God's fully aware. He recognizes and realizes our struggles, but he's not going to do anything until we add the word to it, because he's a God of faith. He's a God of his word. And I would assume if God could be frustrated, and he does have emotions, by the way, he does get angry, he does weep, he does have all the emotions we have, so I think frustration could be fair to say. He's frustrated with his children because we don't step out in faith and claim the promises that he has given us by speaking it. I'm going to prove to you some of that fact in just a minute. And so in this teaching of faith, we need to learn how to speak the word only concerning our situation and speak the word of authority. We need to be people of the word again. But we're not. We're people of worry. We're people of fear. We're people of doubt. We're people of doom. We say all kinds of stuff that comes off the top of our head, and God's like, I can't work with that. See, angels excel in they increase in power when we praise God. Well, what does that mean? It means we begin to praise him with our words. We speak the words of adoration. We're actually repeating what the word says about him. And when we do, the angels excel in strength. They exceed in strength. They continue to get stronger. So that begins to relate to you and I as well. We get stronger in our inner man when we begin to speak the word of God. I'm telling you, we have to learn this. And this is why God brought me into teaching on faith. I love all the aspects of ministry and all the aspects of prophecy. And we went through almost a year and a half of revelation. But the church must get this fact again in their spirits. Because I listen to a lot of Christians and I hear all kinds of just blah. And it amazes me. And I'm like, do you not know what God has done for you? Do you not know the price that Jesus has paid? Well, yeah, I know I'm going to go to heaven someday. Well, yeah, that's sweet, but did you know that he's given you the promises for today, for now? The promises of God are yea and they are amen. They are absolute and they are settled. I feel like preaching. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. He knew. He would be healed because of Jesus' authority. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority. Watch what he says. He understands it. I'm a man under authority and have soldiers under me. So he was under authority. Remember this. This is a cool statement to always remember. To be in authority, you must be under authority. People want to be in authority and they have nobody over them. You're not an authority. You're not humble enough to be under a man or woman of God. You're not humble enough to be under a pastor or a leader. But they walk around like they're super spiritual, whatever. No, you're not. Well, God is my ultimate leader. No, you need to be submitted to somebody that's of a higher anointing than you. You never submit to a lesser anointing. You always submit to a higher anointing. But to be in authority, you have to be under authority. And so we have to learn that. And we don't have that in the church because everybody wants to be on top. Somebody say amen. But he got it. He understood. I'm a man under authority because he was a centurion. And I have soldiers under me because he was a centurion. They're under him. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. It's pretty good employees, don't you think? Don't you wish you had something like that around you? Verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he heard it. You got to understand why they put that in there, because he just didn't hear it. He heard it. He got it. See, a lot of people hear things, but you don't get it. Man, I tell you, that pastor boy, he sure preached a powerful message. It was awesome. What'd he say?
Man, I tell you, that was a Boston service the pastor really preached about. Woo, woo. Threw my hair back. I'm telling you, that was awesome. My weave flew out. My wig, my whatever.
No, he heard it. He got it. It sunk deep into his heart. And he marveled. He marveled. You only find two places in the Bible where Jesus marveled. Right here in Mark 6:6, when he marveled that the Jews had unbelief. Isn't that crazy? Two times only. You won't find anywhere else. He marveled. that this man had great faith as a centurion, and then these Jews didn't believe. Mark 6:6, look it up, because of the unbelief. Pretty wild, huh? And he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. To a dog, to a centurion, to a Roman. What an insult to the Jewish nation. What an insult to those around who acted as though they had great faith. They didn't get it. They didn't get the authority. They didn't get the word of authority. They didn't recognize the authority that was vested in Jesus. Now listen, this is them. Listen, I'm going to say it this way. We're going to get the greater rebuke when we stand before the Lord, because all they had was him. They didn't have Christian bookstores. They didn't have Christian television, Christian radio. In America, we're drowning in Christianity. You can get anything about Christianity at a touch of a finger. Boom, 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 boom. You get all the apps, YouTube. You can drown in Christianity. Somebody say amen. And that's the truth. They had one man, an image. They had Christ right there. That's all they had. And then the rumors and the stories of what he was doing, the fame thereof. And Jesus takes this example and says he couldn't find any greater faith than this right here. We have all of this access to him, and he still says later on, I believe it is in John, he says, will I find faith when I return? That's a huge rebuke. And as we look at times today where we are, and we look at statistics and how the church has fallen and less people believe in God than ever before in America, and on it goes, including so-called Christians, you can see that prophetic word coming to pass. I'm not going to be in that group. You're not going to be in that group. So how do we fix that? We understand he's full of all authority. So in other words, they saw him in his image and his vestige and what he did, and they believed that authority. We have all the testimony of the Word of God and the inner being of the Holy Spirit, the inner witness of him, the confirmation, the affirmation, all those different things, but yet we operate so low and so far from what God wants us to do. We can fix that. It's not condemnation. We can fix that, right? Yes, we are here on Wednesday night. Verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Is that going to happen? Yes. That's a millennial prophecy. That's a millennial prophecy. He's talking about in the future, they'll come from what? The east and the west. What does that represent? The Gentile nations. They'll come and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Guess what? We're going to have a roundtable discussion with them. Somebody said, what? Yeah, you got a meeting. We got a meeting. We're going to hang out with them and just talk the wisdom of God and learn the wisdom of God. But look what he says there. He says that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with them in the kingdom of heaven. Next verse. This is a rebuke. But the children of the kingdom, who are the children of the kingdom? The Jews. They were first offered the kingdom. He's rebuking them. He's using this tremendous example of the centurion, this dog, this Roman guy, in the eyes of the Jewish world, in the eyes of really the world. And he's using a tremendous example. He said, man, I can't find any greater faith in Israel than this guy right here. And let me explain to you what's going to happen. The Gentiles are going to come and sit down with Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But you guys, watch this, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. Why? Because I offered it to you first and you rejected it. I offered the kingdom to the Jews and the Jews rejected it. Does that apply today? Yeah, it applies to us. If we reject such great faith, if we reject such great salvation and reject the word of God, we're cast out and can be cast out. Absolutely. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound too good, does it? It's not pleasant, is it? Will that happen? It will happen to many. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed. He believed what? He believed the authority of the Word of God. He believed in the authority of Jesus. He said, speak the word only because I'm a man of authority and I get it. All you got to do, Jesus, is speak it. Now, that's again a single person, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God in the flesh. Now we have him by the Spirit. Now we have the Word of God. How much greater faith should we have? How much greater power should we possess than this centurion who understood the word of authority in his limited capacity when we have this massive ocean of information about God? Do you see that? It just takes what? A little mustard seed. That's all it takes. But the problem is we don't work with the mustard seed. We're too thankful. I hope this is okay, but we're too thankful with our salvation in church. I'm saved. Yay, I'm saved. That's great. Yay. You're dying. Yay. You can't make your ends meet. You can't pay your bills. You can't do this. You can't do that. Yay, I'm going to heaven. I'm miserable. I'm moody. I'm yay. No. That isn't how God wants us to live. Y'all, a lot of you didn't think I could run that fast, did you? You know, we live so, and what God's trying to do, he's trying to get us to, listen, you're going to need this in these days. People are living on the edge of eternity right now. They're living on the edge of their brains with the finances and what's going on today. You know that. But see, us of faith, people of faith, we have to look beyond that and say, I'm not afraid of that. You make it $20 a gallon. Now you're all mad at me. Matter of fact, Oscar and I in Nigeria, we were talking about it. I said, because we were talking about the prosperity message that's over there in Nigeria. It came from America, and we were preaching back and forth. And I said, listen, God had to deal with Israel and all the other foreign nations. You know how he did it? He did it through judgment, but he broke the bread, the staff of bread. When he broke the bread, which means the finances, and bring famine, then the nations got it. Yeah. It's going to happen in America. It's happening right now. It's been happening. We've warned, we've warned. Well, who's going to survive this? People of faith, not multimillionaires. They can go for so long. See, we have to be prepared for these things. And the only way to do it is to build your faith and practice your faith. Yeah, I'm glad I'm saved, man, but I'd like a little bit of heaven today, don't you? And so be it done unto thee. Why? Because he believed. And his servant was healed. Actually, the translation is not saying same self hour. It really means instantly. Psh, he was healed. As soon as Jesus said, psh, according to what you believed, he was healed. Because the centurion goes back and checks on it, and they said, yeah, in that hour he was healed. You know that, right? So it was instant. Next verse. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife, mother laid, and sick of a fever. So we won't go any further than that, because there's an old joke with that. Peter never asked for his mother-in-law to be healed. Look it up. And Jesus came to Peter's house, his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he never asked for it, but she got healed. Anyways, all right. Love Peter. Hey, we try to make everybody mad here. All right. Let me give you a couple verses. We're going to teach from these verses now. We're just going to add to what we've learned. Is that okay? So let's go to John 16, 23 through 24. And I'm going to teach off these particular scriptures. We're dealing with the tongue. We're dealing with your words. We're dealing with my words, my tongue. We're dealing with being careful with what we say, being watchful. Okay? So let's look at this. John 16, 23 through 24. And in that day you shall ask me what? Nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? He will give it to you. Do you believe that or not? You have to believe that. Now remember, it's all based on the will of God. So there's a lot of hyper-faith people that say, I believe for this, I believe for that, I believe for that. You know, but if God isn't going to think that's beneficial for you, he's not going to give it to you. Because how many of y'all know we think goofy things? People think goofy things, okay? He's the Father. He knows what's best. But in essence, yes, he will give it to you in his name. All right, next verse. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So going back to the clapping and running around, I'm saved, but I'm broke, I'm saved, but I'm this, saved, but I'm... Your joy may be full. Now, you can be without certain things and be joyful. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to give prosperity and materials as a sign of joy, but it does help to have your bills paid. Doesn't it make you happy? To get a good report from the doctor, to do this or whatever, you know, it does give you joy. Does God want you to be joyful? Of course. How do I do that? We just read the key, and the key is to declare the word of the Lord. It's to be in faith, speaking faith, and declaring it in his name. Next verse is John 15, 7 through 11. John 15, 7 through 11. All right, we're going to learn a lot. If you abide in me, here's another key. If you abide in me, if, everybody say if you abide in me. Abide means to reside. It means to stay connected to him. Abide doesn't mean if you visit me, if you only call on me when you need me. If you abide in me, you have to live in Christ. You have to be there. And my words abide in you. They live in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why can you ask what you will, and it be done unto you? Because your will is the word. Your will is the word, which is the will of God. Not my will be done, but thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And so the will of God becomes my will when I abide in him. When I abide in him, I'm not trying to get somebody else's wife. When I'm abiding in him, I'm not trying to get my neighbor's Corvette. I can ask. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to take something from somebody else or have something in my life that is not good for me. I will do what God wants me to do. Why? Because he abides in me, his words abide in me, and his will is working in my life. Does that make sense? Well, if I know that's true and the words abide in me, let's look at the rest of this. Next verse. Herein is my Father glorified. How's God glorified? That you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. Man, that we could teach all night on this. Herein is my Father glorified. How is he glorified? That I bear much fruit. What kind of fruit? Genesis 1:11, after its kind. Which kind is it? God's kind. He's not talking about nasty fruit, bad fruit. Come on. Every one of us, before we got saved, if we really turned around and looked at our life, it was full of either destruction, or it was full of hurt people, or it was full of bad fruit. That's why you needed a Savior, so he can give you good fruit. Well, you live by the fruit of your mouth. We're going to teach on that in a little bit. Probably not tonight, but we live by the fruit of our mouth. So what kind of fruit are you sowing? What kind of seed are you sowing? Because whatever you're sowing, you're going to eat. You're going to reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, he reaps. So if you constantly, listen, you may think I'm nuts, but in my early days of Christianity, again, working on complexes, working on negativity, these things, I would get in the mirror and quote the word of God and speak to myself and prophesy about myself. Because no one else would, Curtis. No one else would help me. No one else would say good things. So I had to learn how to take the word of God and say, I'm the head and not the tail. Hey, I'm looking pretty good. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in, going out of the city in the field. Men giving to my bosom, good measure, breast down, shaking together, running over. What'd you think about that? It's when I had more wave to throw back. Now you say, well, that's just cocky, that's prideful. No, that was medicine. Now, you have it all together, and you don't need that stuff, but that was medicine to me. Well, guess what? You got to do it today. I still have to do it. I still have to look and say, man, I'm blessed. Well, don't you know you got this?
I'm blessed. You can't out bless me. I'm blessed.
My father always says, he say, "How you doing, Mr. Faircloth?" He said, I'm blessed by the best and highly favored. They don't know what to say about that. I love it. He does it to telemarketers, and they hang up. What? All right. So herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So God wants us to bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So if I'm going to glorify God, I'm going to bear much fruit. And I'm going to do that bearing of fruit because I am a disciple. What does that mean? I'm disciplined. My words are disciplined. I abide in him. Remember, this is contextual. It doesn't break. It stays in flow. He's teaching us something. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. My words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. God is glorified because you get a bunch of fruit. And a disciple does that. How am I a disciple, and how are you a disciple, if we say opposite of our master, if we talk opposite of our master? That'd be like me hiring a guy and him going out blabbing his mouth about me and my business and everything else, and then coming to my face praising me and so grateful for his job, but yet he's two-faced. Well, that happens in Christianity. They come into church, and we one-face God this way, then we go out and we two-face him there. And what we do is we empower the devil in our lives, and we have to stop it. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We're going to go to verse 11. And if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments. What are those words, right? Commandments is the word of God, right? And abide in his love. So now we have love, we have commandments. If I love God, I'm going to stay in his word. Because God loves me, his word is there. For God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, who should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but through Christ, through Jesus, his son, to save the world. Is that right? So if I'm not condemned, then that means I'm loved. And I'm loved, and the word proves it to me. So God wants me to bear fruit. He wants me to bear good fruit. Again, the American mindset, here's where we have to be careful, is we compare. We say, okay, God loves Christine more because she's driving a Cadillac and I got Flo driving a Pinto. Not anymore. She said, I moved up. Thank God. I'd still like to have that Pinto, though. I'd still like to see that Pinto. And we compare that. When we forget that maybe Christine's worked harder, maybe Christine got an education, or maybe Flo got, whatever it is, and we compare in Christianity each other spiritually with natural things. And that's not what we're getting into. Not getting into that at all. But we are talking about bearing fruit and having his word abide in us. Okay? And he loves us the same. But remember, favor is never fair. Let me try that so I can see the rocks coming. Favor is not fair. Favor is not fair. But you can get favor by the word of God. I don't believe that any man is born into favor necessarily. I believe favor can be earned. I believe favor comes by faith. I believe favor comes by hard work. Favor comes by diligence. Favor comes by constantly coming before the Lord and the Lord just saying, you know what? This guy won't leave me alone. I just love this guy right here. He look at that faith. Look at the man, the centurion. He's unlovable. But Jesus was like, boom, I marvel twice. Only two places, and one of them was a centurion. He marveled. Don't you think he had favor? I do. Okay, and then final verse on this one is verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. There it is, the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. He wants you to be strong. Again, the joy, Flo driving that Pinto, that might be her joy. Somebody else has this. Again, that doesn't matter. Materialistic things don't matter. Where you live, your address, all that doesn't matter. The joy that the Lord gives you through faith and the word abiding in you and his love abiding in you, that's the key. That's what matters. I have met some of the most joyous people who were flat poor around the world. Blow you away, singing and dancing and loving God. go to Cuba with us, and you'll see people who have been on a back, I call it an oven. It's just a truck, open air truck, for 8-9 hours to get to a conference to hear you preach, and just get there with tears in their eyes that they even made it and they worship God. We got it all mixed up in America. It's not about stuff. Proverbs 13, let's go there real quick, 1-3. I got about another 10 minutes. Is that all right, 10 minutes? Okay, then we'll take it. Proverbs 13, let's look at that, 1-3. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. What kind of son? Wise. Heareth his father's instructions. Let's do it this way. A wise believer hears God's word, follows God's word. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. So it's a foolish thing to look into the mirror of the word and not recognize who you are and walk away. But a wise one hears the instruction of God, looks into the mirror of the word, and recognizes who they are in God, and imitates it, and believes the picture that God is showing them. And you do that by the word of faith. You speak, and it carves your life out. It carves it into the image that Jesus wants you to have. Again, it's not about prestige and promotion and these different things. It's first of all about the inner joy, the ability to stand in the midst of every storm. Then those things come to you. And we can talk about that at another time. They do come to you. They will come to you. Okay, so the next verse. A man shall eat good by what? The fruit of his mouth. I just said that earlier about the mouth. He shall eat good. You want to eat good? Nobody wants to eat good in here. And the way I see some people, they're eating pretty good. A man shall eat, help me, eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. So a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. You want to eat good? You want to live good? Again, I'm not talking about having filet mignon compared to, redneck bologna sandwiches. Fried bologna, that's what we used to call that steak. That's not what we're talking about. Can it translate to that? Sure, eventually in life or what have you. There's so many variables, and that's not the point of this. The point of this, if you want to eat good, have good things in your life, then speak good things by your mouth. This is why we're in such danger in this prophecy thing that's going on in the church and in the end times, is everybody wants to be a spokesman for the devil and the propaganda for the devil. We have to warn, we have to lay these things out, but I'm talking about continuously feeding, just continuously eating this. You're not going to live good. You're going to be paranoid. Every black helicopter that flies by, you think, has your name on it. They're not after you, Jason Bourne. Believe me, they're not. Verse 3, you're so far from the wanted list. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth what? His life. Really, the word keepeth there should be guard. Whoever guards his mouth guards his life. I'm not going to open up my mouth and let the devil just run loose. Got to be careful. I got to guard it. Lord, help me, help me, help me guard my mouth. God, help me. You ought to make that prayer in the morning. Lord, as you put on the armor or what have you, and you start your day out in devotion, however you start your day, some of us need coffee before we can even say hi to anybody. Amen. Brother Mark. But once we, I'm just kidding, we talk about coffee all the time. But the reality is that we have to ask God, we should add it to our prayers. Lord, guard my mouth. Help me. Help me guard it. I can only do it by your power, by the Holy Ghost, by the words of God. I can only eat the good of my mouth. I need to speak good today. I'm serious. We need to learn this. This is hard for a lot of people, I know. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have what? Destruction. Blah, blah, blah. Always saying something. You're going to say something stupid eventually if you open your mouth all the time. Can somebody say amen? Majority of times when I get blabbermouth, I say some of the stupidest things. in conversations. And I'm just like, and people are like, what did he just say? You know, you like that. Everybody is like that. Or you get in an argument. Oh, what's the argument? Arguments are not, I'm mad. Exclamation point. No, it's like, let me tell you something, how I feel about everything. And let me tell you. I mean, you've gone all the way back to last Christmas. And I never liked that shirt you gave me. Right? Exactly. Lord, put a seal upon my mouth. Help me, help me, help me. All right, last we're going to do Ephesians 4 because I don't have time. 4:29. You guys just took up my time. Ephesians 4:29. You need your beauty sleep. Watch this. So I got to keep my mouth, man. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We always used to say that when they were growing up, our kids, a mouch. Your mouth. But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communication. We're not talking about jokes. We're going back to idleness. We're going back to words that will corrupt, hurt people. Words that will destroy people. Words that are negative. Even for yourself, they corrupt you. They deteriorate. They erode the good things about you. But that which is good to the use to edifying. Let's talk about that real quick. We're going to get out of here. Edifying. You want to edify yourself. You want to, that's why praying in the Holy Ghost is so powerful, praying in tongues, because you edify your inner man. You build that inner man up. In a world that is negative, you need this. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues, you can take the word of God and edify yourself. So in other words, let's use a quick example and we'll get out of here. You're having a bad day, you woke up, bad day, wrong side of the bed, cat drank all the milk for coffee, whatever. You know, this is terrible. Come on, you're just a bad day. You just begin to walk around and declare the blessings of the Lord. You speak the word of God, you edify yourself, you edify, you bless. If you get around people that are feeling the same way, you edify them. You don't add to their corruption, you don't add to their erosion. Yeah, you sure do look pretty sick. Should be dead by now. You know, that ain't pretty, that's not helping, is it? That's not edifying, you know. But if you say, you know, hey, man, I'm praying for you, I encourage you, you know, you're doing, you know, God's going to take care of you, what have you. You know how to speak. So we have to be careful about our words, and we'll get back into this next time because I've got tons more scripture to give you in that area. But I just wanted to I just wanted to start out this way out on this particular teaching about the tongue as we continue to march down that road. Just remember this, and there's a scripture, and I can give it to you next time. It talks about how the tongue has set hell on fire. But just remember this, even though that's true, the tongue did set the fire of hell alight, you know, in flames. You can set heaven on fire. You can set your world on fire with the goodness of God by your tongue as well. Father, we thank you for your amazing love and amazing grace. And I ask, Father, help us all to have a guard over our mouth, a seal, Lord, so that we would just speak right and we'd speak words of life in a very, very negative, negative world. Lord, help us to be edifying to our brothers and to our sisters and to our own spirit, man. And then those words will attract others because light always attracts darkness, and darkness can never comprehend the light that is in us through you. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.